But yesterday morning I was thinking about what I had been trying to work on a lesson, and I had another topic in mind, and I'd been thinking about another topic through the week some, and as I was getting ready yesterday morning, thinking about what I wanted to preach on, I looked out the window, and it was all calm outside. I don't know if you've noticed some of these mornings, but there was no wind blowing, and it was calm, and it was quiet. And so I stopped, and I looked closer, and out that upstairs window, like the pine trees, the tops of the pine trees are up, not too much higher out there, and so usually they're waving something. They're doing something at the top of the pine tree, but there was nothing. It was just still. And it was so still out there, and I looked over to an oak tree that's got the red leaves on it that are drying up and getting ready to fall off. None were falling. None. I looked at it closer, and not even a leaf was waving or anything. It just looked like a painting. Everything was so still and calm out there. And I listened, and I didn't hear any noise. House was quiet and it was still, but then I heard from the clock constantly ticking. Even when things look like nothing is going on, like time is standing still to you, that clock is still ticking away. Time keeps going on. And that's the nature of time. It's always running out on us. And this time of year, I start thinking about it because we can see the seasons changing. The summer is gone. I like the summer. A lot of people don't like the summer. I don't like the winter. I get too cold. But I like the summer. And so when the summer is gone every year, that's when I start getting sad in the fall time. People like the fall and the leaves, but I get sad over it. Because for me, it's, oh, another summer's got away. It's gone. And this time of the year, things start happening fast. You know, Thanksgiving is almost here on us. And then before we know it, Christmas will be on us. It's coming fast, and then the year will be gone. And 2013 will be history. You know, if you've lived a few years, that seems strange to you that 2013 could be history. That seems like a date that should be in the future sometime. But it'll be history soon. And that's the way time is. It just keeps on going. Psalms compares our life to a shadow. And I think when we see this in the Psalms and in the Bible many times, it talks about a shadow. I think it's talking about as the sun is getting low and the shadow is out there, and then before you know it, the shadow is just gone. The sun went too low to not cast the shadow anymore. And the shadow is gone quickly. Psalms, it talks about what is the life of man. Psalms 114, Psalms 144 and 3, it says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as the shadow that passeth away. Psalm 144, verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as the shadow that passeth away. Our days are like a shadow that soon passes on by. Psalms 134 and 4, usually I put them up on the scriptures. I mean, the scriptures up on the projector, but I didn't get it together. Psalms 34 and 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So he says, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. He's talking about measuring the days, and then he gives us a measurement. I don't know if you noticed this. He says, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. That's a measurement. That's about the width of the hand. So when they measure things, sometimes you measure a cubic and then a hand. It's not a very long measure. And that's what he says, the measure of his days. The measures of our days. Mine age is nothing before thee. And then we see this in our best faith, he says, vanity. This is the vanity that we've been reading about in Ecclesiastes. We see it so many times there in Ecclesiastes, and he's trying to give us wisdom about realizing the vanity of so many things in this life. We have a limited amount of time. Our time is limited, and that is a fact. It will pass away from us quickly. Each moment that is gone is gone. And sometimes we get tricked and don't realize that about life, that each moment that's gone has been gone. We get tricked by the days and the seasons and the year because they look alike. We go day after day that seems so similar. The sun comes up. We get up in the morning. We have our work to do. We have our things to do the same as the day before. And we sit down and we eat our meal the same as the day before. And we work and we get tired the same as the day before. And when the day is over, we go to bed the same as the day before. And we think tomorrow will be just the same again. But every day is one day that we have. And that moment, when it's gone, it cannot be regained. It's gone. And when I think about this fact, I get uneasy in myself. I start to worry sometimes, much like I did when I was standing there and the clock was ticking away at me behind. I start worrying. Time is running out on me. And that's not the response that we want to have from this. We want to consider this morning, what is the right response from the fact that time is always moving on? From this lesson this morning, I hope that I'm not depressing you. I don't plan to depress us this morning, but I plan to prepare us. Prepare us for the fact, because it's a fact. Time is moving on. Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, these are some familiar verses to most of us, I think. James chapter 4, verse 13. James is pretty good about giving us practical advice in life. And not just some philosophy or some fact, but a how-to. I consider James to be kind of a how-to book, how to live our life. But let's look in James chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." I think, as I look at this, I think James is talking to people whose biggest plan is to buy and sell and get gain. And when they're planning out their future year, he says, we'll continue their year. So they're planning out their next year of what they're going to do. Material wealth seems important to them. This may sound like some of us as we plan out our life. We're planning on material things. And sometimes this sounds like me as I look at my life and the way that I plan things. I don't buy and sell to get gain, but I plan my future year around my job, which is the way I get gain. But what does James say? He says, come to now. He says, go to now, and some of them translate this as come now. So he's trying to correct us in this. And many times we look at this go to now and the fact that he's saying tomorrow, or I will do this in the next year, and we say, well, don't procrastinate over this. And that may be part of what James is saying, but he's giving us the perspective on life that getting gain is not the most important thing. And let's continue reading here in James and look at some more of these things that he tells us about our life and about this ideal as he's answering these people, as he's answering to us, as we might would say, my next year I'm going to buy and sell and I'm going to get gain, and we're planning out our life in this material ways, he's got an answer for us. Look at verse 14 now. He says, Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So James is going to try to give us some correct responses for this fact that our life is but a vapor, that time is ticking on, and that it will vanish away. He says that we're not to say this, that we're here's our plan, this is what we're going to do, buy and sell and to get gain. But we should know this, that our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. So he's going to tell us, don't boast, don't brag about ourselves, but be humble. Especially don't brag about things that we still are only planning to do tomorrow or later. Don't say tomorrow or later as if we have some control over the future. For we don't know what tomorrow will be. But we have to realize God's in control of things. And we have to say, as He's going to teach us, that we ought to say, if the Lord will, I will do this or that. Let's continue reading in verse 15. He says, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have to realize in our lives that as we plan things out, that our plans have to submit to God's will. We can't just say, I know that I'm going to do this or that. He says that's bragging over things. We have to say, if it's God's will, I will do this. We should never attempt to make plans to do things that would be against God's desired will for us. What He desires for us, and even He warns us here about boasting. Even when we have accomplished things, we're not to boast of ourselves as if we're something great. But we have to realize that the only way that we've accomplished anything is because God has afforded us the ability to do it. He's given us the opportunity. We have to give Him the honor and the glory. And when James was speaking of this, he was just giving a proverb. He was just referencing a proverb here from Proverbs 27:1. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. We don't know about tomorrow. And the right response to this fact about time, the fact that time flies away from us and our life is but a vapor that appears for a short while, the right response to that will be wisdom. Wisdom. So we want to study this some more and see if we can gain wisdom in our life. Psalms 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There is wisdom in realizing the number of our days. I don't know if you've probably seen these, I'll call them day chains. I don't know what they're called, but my kids, whenever there's an event coming up, they make a day chain so that they can see how many days there are. Sometimes we might get it in our mind, and it's hard for us to grasp a particular number, but kids can understand. I have this many links in a chain. That's how many days, and they take one off each day. And so that helps them to understand. I think that's some understanding here that he's talking about, is understanding the number of our days. If we knew how many there were, we would have more understanding. But he says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. James says it's a vapor. And when he's talking about our life being a vapor, I think he's going to give us some wisdom here in that he's going to teach us not to be too concerned about things that are not going to last. Many things in this life are just fading away. Those are unimportant things. This wisdom is about priorities and then setting right priorities and then executing on the things that are truly important. Just like we have to do in anything else. Just like I have to do in my work. I have tasks to do, and I have to put those tasks in some kind of priority order. And then I focus on the things that are important. And sometimes I get requests at work. Lots of people come, I want you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this. And I have to go to someone else and say, hey, I need this in priority. What is important? And so it's the same way with our life. That's the wisdom that James wants to teach us about this vapor. Many things will just vanish away, and those are not important. And we usually know, if we were set down to ask, we could tell you the things that are important and things that are not important. But sometimes we don't live like it. We don't actually let that knowledge give us wisdom in the way that we behave. And I think there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. We may know what's important. Spiritual things are important, and we all know this. The spiritual things are going to last. Those are important. Worldly things are going to vanish. Those are not important. Meditating on God's Word, studying God's Word, seeking lost souls, helping the needy and those that are suffering, those spiritual aspects of life, those are important. As James put it, buying and selling and getting gain. Just money. Those things are not important. They're going to vanish away. Entertainments and pleasures of our life, they're going to vanish away. The worldly things are not important. But we need to have wisdom in realizing of our life the things that are important. And this is the wisdom that Ecclesiastes is teaching us about vanity, the emptiness of life. And preparing for these worldly things is a waste of our time because it's just that vanity, just emptiness. But what is your life, James says? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away. It's brief. That's what his answer to that is. What is your life? Your life is brief. He's asking about the nature of your life. It's brief. And James knew this was an important thing about his life. And as we look back on history and we see all the time that's gone before us, we could say, well, James's life was a short little life in all of history. But someday, think how short we will look at our life, our physical life on this earth. How short it will be from the vantage point of eternity. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away, he says. But we want to gain wisdom from this. 1 Peter 4 and 7, Peter is giving them several warnings there, and they think this would apply to all Christians. And 1 Peter 4 and 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Whenever we read in the Bible, therefores, we need to pay attention to those. They're saying, because of this, so that's about that wisdom that we're talking about. Not just knowing a fact, but knowing the right response to a fact. The fact was, he says here in 1 Peter 4 and 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. Verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. So therefore, because the end of things are at hand, we are to be sober, he says, and to watch unto prayer. Sober, I think, means to think clearly. I think he's talking about making careful use of our opportunities, our time, and all the other resources that we have, to use them wisely, to use them carefully. Galatians 6 and 7, we quote this many times, he says, in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we have, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those with the household of faith. So we're talking about opportunity that we have. As we have opportunities, let us do good. Because what we will reap, what we sow, is what we will reap. If we sow to the flesh, that's the worldly things that we've been talking about. It's going to vanish away. If we sow and if we put our energy and our time into the things of the flesh, we will reap, which is what we'll get back, corruption. Because those things are corruptible. They're not going to last. But if we use our opportunity, our time, our resources, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life everlasting. You know, as we get worried about the time that we have in this life and things clicking away from us, as Christians we can hold on to eternity, time with no end. But in this life, time is running out. And we need to gain wisdom as to how to use that and use our opportunities sowing to the Spirit. Ephesians talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil, it says in Ephesians 5 and 16. Redeeming the time. And in Colossians here, he's talking about how that we are to speak and how that we are to live. And there again, he uses the same phrase, redeeming the time. Colossians 4 and 5, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Redeeming the time. Redeem means to save something from being lost, I think, is what we're talking about here. To save our time from being lost. So that's what we want with our time. We don't want our time to be wasted and to be lost. We want it to be of some use. We want it to be worth something. Then we should spend it wisely. As he says, redeem it. Redeem our time. And the way that we do this is by spiritual things. Realizing that when we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life everlasting. The Bible also talks about knowing the time in Romans. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 through 14. We'll read these four verses. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. He says, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So he's teaching us about love. And he's referring back to what Jesus said about how that all the law and the prophets hinge on these love. Verse 14, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When we are making provision to the flesh, as he says, all these things that he listed above, we are spending our time, we're wasting our time. We're spending it to the flesh, which means we're spending it foolishly and wasting our time. And we will reap corruption only from those things. But knowing the time, that our salvation is now forced, that our salvation is clear, is nearer than when we believe, as he says here. Knowing the time, then we are to walk honestly. We are to respond wisely and use our time wisely. That we may reap spiritual things. We sow spiritual things. In First John chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof." Now that's what he just read. We just heard about lust from the previous one. That's back to our flesh. "The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Abideth forever. Now that's time without end. And that's those that do the will of God. They will have a heaven as their home for eternity. So when we use our time wisely, it will reap to us things that are eternal nature, that abide forever. As 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, as he's talking about God and the blessings that he has for Christians, he said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Now that's what James said about our life. There are many things around this in this life that are just fading away. They're corruptible. But he says that there is an inheritance for the Christians that is incorruptible, that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven. And so until we realize the frailty and the temporal things, the temporal nature of worldly things, until we realize that, we don't appreciate the value of spiritual things in this life. And that's wisdom that I hope we get from the sermon as we meditate and think about these things this morning, about time flying away from us, about the nature of things that are around us, worldly things, that they're fading away. I hope from this we can gain a perspective to realize and appreciate the value of spiritual things. Consider the fleetingness of each moment and then the value of the vastness of eternity. Each moment is soon gone forever. And we never get a moment, we'll never get that moment back. And we don't know when will be our last moment, our last opportunity to do what's right and to get right for God and to prepare for eternity, to sow to spiritual things. So we need to make each moment count. Do it now. As 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 said, he says, "For he said, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the time. We have to use the now that we have wisely. And to redeem our time, we have to start by being a Christian. And Jesus said to go into, told his disciples that they would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And in Acts chapter 2, whenever they were pricked in their hearts on the day of Pentecost at Peter's preaching, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And his response was, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you might receive the remission of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then repent and be baptized. We'll become a Christian. Then we have to walk the Christian life. As Romans 6 and 14 says that we're buried with Him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. A new life. We have to live a Christian life. In 1 John 1 and 6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So that's our sermon for this morning. If you are in either of these cases, that you need to be baptized to become a Christian, or if you are a Christian and are not walking in the light, not doing the things that are right and using our time wisely, then if you would like to confess your sins and have the church pray for you, we also give that invitation to you.